January 2011. History unfolding.
And now things are getting worse by the moment.
This film tells the story of 5 days when the people of Egypt broke through a barrier of fear they had known for a generation and rose in revolt against their president.
Police are knocking on our door. It's Philippe Beb. The police is on their way up to our office. I will stay on the air if I can until the police come. We're going to keep these images for you guys live until we are actually forced off the air, either by the police or if our signal is somehow interrupted.
Small networks of activists were gearing up for mass action. They'd been agitating against President Mubarak's autocratic rule for years. But they never had attracted mass support until another Arab country rose up against its tyrant.
The protests haven't kicked off just yet. They're expected to start in the coming couple of hours. This is going to be a real test whether online activism in Egypt can translate into real action. Anger has been on the rise in Egypt for the past couple of years, but we have seen similar calls fizzle out. The main difference now is that these calls are coming after what happened in Tunisia, which seems to have not only inspired activists, but actually ordinary Egyptians, a dozen of whom we have seen set themselves on fire in copycat self-immolation similar to the one that had sparked the uprising in Tunisia.
Their demands, simple. Political freedoms, an end to state corruption, and a better quality of life for the impoverished population.
Anger had been brewing in Egypt for years now. The last 2 years, we witnessed several strikes in the country, rising unemployment, a sectarian tension was on the rise.
Well, I think anyone who has lived or spent time in Egypt would tell you there were plenty of signs that suggested that people in Egypt were growing increasingly frustrated. But I don't think anyone could have genuinely predicted that thousands of Egyptians would defy and challenge the government and its various security apparatuses.
President Mubarak and his National Democratic Party are apparently as secure in power as ever on the eve of the planned demonstrations.
What happened that day was that tens of thousands of Egyptians, different parts of the country, took to the streets. Not stationary protests as we were used to seeing here in Egypt. They were actually marching from one neighborhood to another at the heart of Cairo.
Are we expecting to see trouble?
It's difficult to judge at this early stage.
They started marching onto different parts of the capital, the strategic buildings perhaps that symbolized their plight or their agony, the ruling National Party headquarters, the state television, the foreign ministry.
The ruling party is the symbol of that, as far as protesters are concerned and activists are concerned, which is why they're trying to stage this protest now in front of the ruling party.
Just listen to the chants roaring in downtown Cairo, the hundreds of people walking to the streets. It's unprecedented for people to march to the streets this way as an act of protest without security trying to prevent them. The people we've seen taken to the streets today are not the 50, 60 activists that we've been seen protesting in Egypt for the past 5, 6 years. These were normal Egyptians.
Thousands marched peacefully in the morning. Their ultimate goal, to reach the city's heart, Tahrir Square. But then scuffles break out with riot police. They attempt to divide and conquer.
Indeed, Darren, this news just coming in. In fact, I'm just getting a chance to read the statement that's been issued now by the Interior Ministry. The first official reaction since the morning, blaming the outlawed Muslim Brotherhood group.
The government, quick to seize the political capital, accused their longtime enemy of inciting unrest.
The numbers estimates were around 20,000, but I cannot be that sure. We outnumbered them, which is a very new thing, a new experience to us. When we approached Tahrir Square, police tried to stop us, but our numbers just marched through them and they chanted peaceful, peaceful till they passed through all the police barriers. Definitely not the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood announced that they will not be part of this.
We're tired. Stop inflation. We're suffering. We love Egypt and we defend Egypt, but we've had enough.
voices roaring into the night. Egyptian men, women, and children called for the resignation of the president.
They shot at us. They shot at us. Why? I don't know. Who are we? The enemy? Am I an enemy of the state? I came here to ask just for rights. I came here to ask for a home.
Shortly after midnight, that's when it became clear to everybody that the police, their patience was wearing thin.
A new dawn in Cairo, and a policing strategy in Egypt on a whole new scale.
After a day of mass protests in Egypt, the government has banned any further demonstrations. And there's a warning to activists of a tough crackdown if people do take to the streets again.
I'm very close to the press center. The scene itself was really calm, but right next to it is the Supreme Court, and there were a group of less than 1,000 protesters completely encircled by police. They beat them with the sticks, and they shot tear gas bombs, and the whole demonstration was separated, and they were running after protesters.
So, Mona, are the police responding to violent protests from the crowd, or what are they doing?
They're at a loss how to respond, so they are responding in the only way they know right now, which is beating up and completely turning violent and aggressive.
Reports flood in of detentions and violence, changing the mood to one of defiance. Our reporters witness the use of excessive force.
I actually have to move. Protesters are pelting a riot squad truck with stones.
An official 6 p.m. curfew is ignored, and by evening, the mission to reach Tahrir Square brings together at least 2,000 people.
That square has been cordoned off today by the security forces. They're not allowing people to get anywhere near it. It is the symbolic heart of Cairo, and the word Tahrir means liberation.
Sure enough, by night, our cameras capture the scene in Tahrir. Protesters have broken through police lines.
The protesters have lost their fear. They are determined to continue doing this. It doesn't show any signs of stopping.
News that several hundred Bedouin in the Sinai exchange gunfire with police proves this struggle no longer belongs to urbanite Egyptians. Amateur footage shows a 22-year-old there, apparently killed by a single gunshot to the head. Mohammed El Baradei, former top nuclear diplomat, returns to lead the crowds.
You know, I will be with them. They are my people, and I have to be there, and I'd like to see Egypt, a new Egypt.
Political support, moral support.
Up until this point, the protest movement has not had any specific leader to try and galvanize it and give it some kind of direction. Mohammed El Baradei's arrival is going to be highly anticipated and is certainly something that President Mubarak will not be very happy to see him arrive.
But on the coattails of a grassroots uprising, he no longer represents everyone out on the streets.
It doesn't seem that confrontations have fizzled.
With blood now on Egypt's streets, filming becomes difficult. Attempts to block media coverage, which intensifies in days to come, as Al Jazeera and other journalists become the state's new scapegoats.
سيدتي وسادتي نظرا لما شهدته بعض المحافظات من أعمال الشغب والخروج على القانون.
Overnight, Egypt has been unplugged. Shortly after midnight, internet and mobile networks had been shut off, in the hope of paralyzing the protests.
The US-based internet monitoring site says it's an unprecedented event in history. The Egyptian government has effectively wiped their country from the global map.
And that's when alarm bells started to go off, because as soon as we realized that the internet had gone down, we knew that the government was in a very desperate mode. It was in a serious mode, and it was about to confront perhaps one of the most biggest challenges.
Across the country, people had already agreed on more protests after prayers, calling for a day of rage.
We've heard reports from eyewitnesses that undercover informants from the government have infiltrated all the mosques, particularly those known to have a large Muslim Brotherhood gathering.
And it seems to be a desperate action by the government. That seems to be the feeling on the streets as well. Why is the government resorting to such desperate measures? Because if anything is going to push these people over the edge.
By early afternoon, our correspondents in Cairo, Alexandria, and Suez were witnessing deliberate violence.
We went to the mosque in Giza. I noticed that the police posture was very, very aggressive, and almost instantly they started firing water cannons. As soon as that didn't work, they quickly began to fire tear gas. This scene was unbelievable. I mean, we had essentially become besieged in the mosque.
We are breaking into programming here on Al Jazeera, 11:45 GMT, about 1:45 in the afternoon in Cairo, Egypt. Live continuing coverage here on Al Jazeera of a day of mass protests. They called it a day of rage. It is fast turning into that.
There were roughly 50,000 protesters as they walked through the streets of central Suez towards Al Arba'in police station. The riot police sent three fire engines. The first two smashed through the crowd. They ran over several people in front of my eyes. That disproportionate force seemed to me like the trigger that made swathe after swathe of protesters literally throw themselves at the thousands of state security personnel and riot police who had gathered.
Medical workers in Suez count as many as 55 civilians and 15 policemen injured. Anger Friday told Mubarak and the watching world that actual regime change was the end goal, not simply the right to protest. It also announced the failure of the communications lockdown, as utter defiance and confrontation spread far from the capital. In Alexandria, 10 separate demonstrations with protesters chanting illegitimate. 100 took to the streets of the industrial town of Mahalla. Around 40,000 in Mansoura attempt to destroy ruling party offices. Thousands amassed in Damietta. And also in Port Said. Around 600 clashed with police in Ismaila, birthplace of the opposition group Muslim Brotherhood. In Suez, protesters took over the central square. And even touristic Luxor, far away in the south, saw a 15,000-strong march dispersed by tear gas.
That looks like a trail of tear gas there being fired in the foreground. There comes another one coming down as well. This is extraordinary. This is the capital of Egypt on a Friday afternoon.
More tear gas being fired at the protesters, and more of them are coming our way. Yeah, sorry, Kamal, it's just where more tear gas canisters are being fired direction of our building, actually towards the protesters, and you can see.
Take your time.
Just 1 second, stay with us, come on. Ahmed, badal.
Tala.
Is worsening here by the moment. I'm seeing, in fact, in front of me, a bloody body being carried through the streets, a march following it, people chanting, there's no God but God. The martyr is loved by God.
By 6 p.m., the state strategy on the ground was changing.
Fighting is actually happening right in front of our office. What you're seeing there are the riot police making their way towards the bridge.
We never expected it to escalate the way it did, because it seemed that the protesters were determined to push the police and the riot police really further and further down the road. But every time they would fire tear gas canisters, they would call reinforcements, and they would try to push the protesters away off of the bridge.
Kamal, unbelievable pictures you're seeing there of crowds of protesters trying to dump the vehicle that is a personnel carrier that carries troops of the police. They're trying almost to knock it over the
into
side
the river.
Of the
yeah.
bridge into the Nile. Yes, into the Nile.
Those police armored vehicles were notorious because they were what would carry political prisoners. They were what were used to try and suppress the people. Just their mere presence on the street would strike fear in the ordinary Egyptian.
The dynamic in Egypt is such that the Ministry of Interior and all of its police forces and various security apparatuses are widely despised in Egypt because they're widely considered as corrupt, they're seen as abusive, there's always allegations of human rights abuse against them, they're known, notoriously known for torturing prisoners, and they've always been, at the end of the day, seen as an institution that protects the regime, not protects the people. So indeed it was a complete game changer once the military had entered into the streets of Cairo. Everywhere you go, the soldiers are still very much admired, still very much respected. The military is still very much revered.
What was uncertain was if the army would take a side and which one.
I have asked the government to resign and I will appoint a new one starting tomorrow.
Well, I think the impact of that message was it was widely seen as a little too late. He almost failed to realize that the anger and the protesters had one goal in mind, and that was him. They weren't upset about policies, they weren't upset about ministerial postings, they weren't upset about declarations, they were really upset about the president. They feel that the president had usurped his powers, had driven Egypt into the wrong direction for nearly 30 years, and had eroded the dignity of life that they want.
Where I actually am is 24 floors above the NDP headquarters in a building not far from our bureau, but to try and get more of an idea of what is going on out there. Now, at the moment, the NDP headquarters is impossible to make out the shape of even the building. There is so much black smoke pouring out from it.
Probably the most iconic moment for me, seeing the National Democratic Party headquarters go up in flames and seeing it burnt out and no one coming for it to its rescue, no one even bothered to try and put it out.
A scene until now unimaginable. The symbolic seat of Hosni Mubarak's 30-year power ablaze.
The headquarters of President Hosni Mubarak's ruling NDP party are still ablaze on Saturday morning. You can see the smoke and still some flames coming from the higher windows. Every vehicle in sight here has been set alight by protesters.
We saw the scope of the damage and we saw that, the city skyline of Cairo had changed.
By Saturday, tensions at the protests themselves had actually eased. Around 50,000 people, surprisingly undeterred by what had so far taken place, filled Tahrir Square, still hoping for their calls to be met for Mubarak to resign from office.
The atmosphere is one of great celebration and one also of great defiance.
Certainly quite a significant political development in just the last 10 minutes. Omar Suleiman, who's already being described as one of the world's most powerful spy chiefs, now vice president of Egypt.
Rather than conceding, Mubarak was installing a new government, consolidating his power. News of this attracted fresh solidarity for the protesters from outside the country.
Well, I'm standing in front of the Egyptian embassy in Washington, where people are chanting, "Down with Mubarak and down with Suleiman."
The people are crying out with demands. Hear them, hear them.
Yet official reaction from Egypt's biggest ally, the United States, was muted.
A better democracy.
These are images President Hosni Mubarak will not want Egyptians to see.
We just got some frantic phone calls from eyewitnesses in various suburbs of downtown Cairo saying that they have seen some thugs that they say belong to the regime out and about on motorcycles trying to loot some of the stores there in the absence of any police presence.
Gamal Mubarak's political career ended on January 25th, 2011.
Yesterday should be the last day of the legitimacy of the regime.
By evening, the composure of Saturday morning had turned to chaos and grief. Still, the Egypt seen by viewers watching state TV was an entirely different one. A sanitized view, not one of a country immersed in revolution. Anarchy appears to overwhelm streets from which police had now vanished.
We knew that the Egyptian government, which always watches Al Jazeera very closely, had begun to crack down on the network because it had by then already disconnected the Al Jazeera Arabic signal and tried to disrupt the service.
Let me just tell you about the targeting of Al Jazeera for our coverage in the last hour or so. Our offices were entered. We believe it was intelligence security. We've also heard that it could be the presidential palace security. They came in, they told us to stop filming. They said that we are causing great damage.
No criminal charges against Al Jazeera are cited during the raid, or have been since. The only explanation given, an unsubstantiated claim that the channel had incited the revolt. Tahrir Square now looks more like a pilgrimage site. Close to 3,000 gather as our newsroom receives reports that military orders to shoot agitators were so far being defied by soldiers. Our correspondents dispersed, melting into the crowds.
We are in the middle of Tahrir Square. You can probably hear above me the military helicopter. It's been hovering over overhead for several hours now, at least from what we've gathered since we've been here.
And every time they circled overhead, it's as if they were flying a little bit lower, and it would make this incredibly loud, thunderous sound. So we really felt that indeed we had reached some kind of critical tipping point.
As fighter jets roared above and military vehicles amassed on the edge of Tahrir Square, protesters felt they were on the brink of a pivotal moment. Either the bloodiest or the most unifying in their recent history. The standoff in Tahrir Square on Sunday the 30th of January embodied the wider conundrum. Who in the end would break the political deadlock? The president or the people?
Egyptians expect complete and utter change. The barrier has been broken. The limit of their demands is basically the sky.
The lack of leadership means that there is no clarity as to how things will go.
We all felt that, you know, Egypt had definitely changed. The images that were being beamed around the world had definitely changed the dynamic of the interaction. We knew that by then, Egyptians had begun to break through the fear factor that had essentially paralyzed and crippled them for 30 years.
The images that you are seeing, not only important for the people of Egypt, but are undoubtedly going to have wide reverberations all across the Arab and the Islamic world.